Tonight, we're going to talk about staying the course. Staying the course. L.A., let me get you to turn around, big guy. Make sure everybody can see me. I just think about all of us and everything that we're dealing with every single day, over and over, every week, month after month, and all the different techniques and challenges. And everything that we're going through, sometimes it's so funny how we can make a lot of progress, and in our lives and in our history of our lives, we find ourselves asking the question, you know, how did I get here? Right? Right? I mean, yes or no? And we're running good. 6 months, 6 days, 6 years sometimes, you know, you got real good runs. I can remember in my past times where I probably went 2 years where I thought I was doing really good. Right? And you think about this, but how do we now, we have a mindset of Christ, you know, because each and every single one of us were called to be here today.
Yep.
We could be watching TV. We could have played hooky. We could be texting, playing on our phone. We came here because there's a message for us. There's a message for me, right? I mean, it's one that I've got to hear. Because staying grounded with this and understanding that faith is the only thing that has the strength to defeat my greatest enemy. Is that the devil? Well, you could hear that. Sometimes you think that. But Ben's greatest enemy has always been Ben. Amen? Right? Talk myself into anything I wanted to do because I'm a nice guy. I do good things. Right? But so you're putting all your effort in. You're trying. You're going to your meetings. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But the world keeps... Right? Every single time I take 3 steps forward, I get punched in the nuts. I want to know why. Right? I want to know why. Why can't I breathe? My gut hurts right now. And I think you turn that focus around, look in the mirror once in a while and say, am I doing this to myself? You know? Or is this the path that I've been paving, really? If I put 31 years of planting negativity, I'm still reaping negativity. Amen? Saved 7 years now. I got 30 years in my pocket of being bad. What if them trees are still growing? What if I still got some of that to deal with? You know, what about the way that I think about it? The reality is that when you're staying the course, one thing, just like Pammy just said, is perspective to understand that any and every single challenge can be greater than me sometimes, but is never greater than God. It's never greater than my faith. It's never greater than my future. Right? So when my problem comes along and life's not fair, family's not fair, court system's not fair, the law's not fair, it's not fair to our kids, what we put them through might not have been fair to us when we were kids and what we went through, right? But like Pammy said, that problem comes along and it's right here. I can't see you guys because all I can see is my problem. And God comes in and he just wrenches on me and spins that in a way that I still got a problem, but I can see through it now, amen? It's not stopping me from driving. It's not stopping me from working. It's not stopping me from praying, right? But when it's here and you cut me off, or it's here and you come at me crooked, what am I going to do, right? You're going to get angry pants, amen? Right? Yes or no? I'm pretty sure we're all the same. And I know what it's like to walk around with just heavy frustration on my back every day. And you deal with that anger that you never really addressed, or that situation is right here, you know, and it just waits for that one moment of this unsuspecting poor citizen to crack the window. And, you know, they get all that frustration and hate. They didn't deserve it, did they? Yes or no? Right? Frustrated with the wife? No. Frustrated with work? Frustrated with the world? Come home, who catches it? Right? Waiting at home. Rah, 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 rah. She didn't do nothing, man. She's waiting for you to get home to be happy. Right? He's waiting for you to get home to be happy. We take out our frustration. We don't put these things in perspective. But so thinking about this message and staying the course is a good message for me today. Because I have non-stop been challenged. Non-stop been challenged. I just wonder how many times can we test my faith? And I come from a place where I'm not easily tested. right? So God's been working on me for years now. And we just wonder how many times the world or myself or the position I'm getting into. And, you know, like, I have a hard time understanding why the things occur. And one thing I learned from Marvin is that you don't grow when you're in your best times.
Amen.
You just don't. You're in your best times, you're enjoying, and it seems like those 2 weeks, those 2 years or whatever it was, those best times, you know, dancing in the field to somebody, whatever it was so good, it just went by overnight. But then them tough times, man, it's like 8 a.m., hour goes by, 8:02, you know what I mean? Every single minute is like 2 hours. It's just every single second of that day is a challenge. You know, and the one thing is I'm starting to think about is it really, really, really the way that we're looking at it is perspective the issue? And I come home Friday. For those of you guys that know me really well, I ventured off into this business where I took all my retirement, everything I've earned for the last 8 years, just build up this whole business so we could do custom cars and hire guys and bring guys in here so we could provide jobs. And I got involved with my uncle and my son, a lot of family. And so really ignorant, long story short, I had to choose, am I going to keep working for my job that I've been at for 6 years and with insurance that puts food on the table, or am I going to quit and take the gamble on making this work? And I had to make a choice. And it was draining me. It was draining me like I pulled a plug on the bathtub. So I shut it down and ended it. So for the last, like probably since this calendar year began, I took all the inventory and I've been restoring the cars one by one in my own driveway, right, off the ground. I don't know how many of you guys change transmission, but when you change the transmission off the ground, it's no joke. You pull a motor out with no tools, it's no joke. So I go to work 14 hours a day, come home, and then I work on cars. And I get that one done, I flip it. Half the time that money generates the next car, the next bike, the next car. So we get all the way done and finally close the chapter of that whole thing and move on, amen? Staying positive. I could have threw my hands up, right? I could have said, oh, this ain't fair, da-da-da, I quit, I'm gonna go do what I always know how to do. But God knew that I was stronger than at that time. And I'm never gonna give up. The bank's gonna get every penny. And when it's all said and done, I'm either going to be broke or I'm going to have a little money and choose to do something else, and I still got a good job, amen? Right? That's the reality of it all. I'm very blessed. But you see, I've been averaging like 18, 20-hour days. So Friday, this last Friday, I get home. I live in an addition out north, and there's a sticker on my truck and a ticket on my truck and my trailer, and they put all this chalk on my tires. And it was like one of those things where I'm still working so much that I'm kind of frustrated. I'm carrying that frustration with me. I've got, you know, 7 good fingers I'm working with at this point. You know, I'm trying to get this stuff done. And now, like, they ticketed me because they said my truck was an abandoned truck. Now, how many of you guys seen my truck? Does anything about my truck or trailer remind you of abandonment? No, right? But I pulled it into my grass a little bit, trying to be cool to my neighbors so there was space for them to drive by. But apparently one of my neighbors who walks their dog, that probably ain't even nowhere near my house, decided that I shouldn't have a truck and trailer in front of my house. So they called the city, and the city came out, and then they put 2 tickets on, vehicle abandonment and a sticker for parking in the grass, because that's their grass. So I'm not going to tell you what I wrote on the check. But I wrote something nasty about parking in my own grass on that check. Pray about it later. But I sent them their money. So I call them, and I talked to them. She said, well, the state law requires you to drive your vehicle if you're going to park on the street 1/10 of a mile every day. I said, that's the most ridiculous rule I ever heard in my life. I go work 14-hour days. You told me I've got to come home and then drive my truck and trailer 1/10 of a mile if I want to keep it at my house. I said, yep, that's the law, and since they're calling in on you, they're going to keep calling in on you, and if you don't get it out, you know, get it out, then we're going to have to come out, and if we tag you and you don't move it, you got to tow. And I said, okay, so you know me and her didn't get along, right? That was nasty. We hung up. I started thinking to myself, okay, there's a solution here. I called the neighborhood association. I said, all right,
If I pour a third driveway, can I put my trailer on a spot in my driveway? And they said, nope, according to the homeowners, you know, you can only have it 8 calendar days a year, 40 hours at a time.
So here's the thing. It's kind of a minor situation, right? We've all got bigger problems than this. But this is the one little tiny problem that set me loose. Like, I lost my mind. I was so mad about this. Because, I had a shop, I had a lot, I had all this stuff, and now I still got all this stuff, and I got to move it. I got to drive it every day. I'm already working 14-hour days. I got to have my truck and trailer at my house, or it's going to shut me down. Or I got to drive 45 minutes to go pick it up, and then 45 minutes back, there's an hour and a half on top of a 16-hour day. So so it's real to me, right? It's not a huge problem, but it's real to me. I'm frustrated. So I went straight to Walmart, walked straight down the thing, grabbed a big old for sale by owner sign, went bam, right in the front yard. I was like, let them walk their dog by. I'm getting out of here, right? Wife comes home. Weekend just gets worse. She could have just joked along, like went along with me for a minute, you know? It's going to be okay, baby. No, she's the for sale sign. It was over with. It's still sitting there.
Yeah,
so the deal is, I'm leaving it there until Saturday just to make my point before I go hide it back in the garage. Because she said, you sell this house, where are you going to go? I said, I don't care. I don't care where I'm going to go. I'm just not going to be where I can't have my own stuff. Where people are going to come along and tell me what to do after how hard I worked for 12 years. Now, granted, probably 10 years ago, the feds kicked that door in. There's like hundreds of them on the streets. So there might be a few people in my neighborhood that don't like me, but they don't know me, right? They don't know me, right? I mean, you guys know me, but I'm not there to hurt anybody. I'm the first guy to come for help. But I started thinking to myself, you know, this is the introduction to my weekend. My wife or my daughter then gets a flat tire at 2 a.m. coming home from work. And then somebody crashed her car into my 1967 F-100. And so it's just like, oh, I'm going to stay positive. Oh, I'm going to stay positive. Oh, I'm going to stay positive. And then this time it hit, I think God's like, let's see if he stays positive. But so let me see how many times he can stay positive, you know? And you know, can bring you to tears because you get so frustrated because you just want to handle it the right way. But I realize that I'm grateful for all of these things to happen to me. And it doesn't make any sense because now I know what I'm going to do. So wife says can't move. I'm going to go cut my fence in half. I'm going to move my fence, because my neighbor's cool, into his yard so it opens up big enough so I can hide my trailer in my backyard. That's plan A, right? That way I don't have to move. I come up with a game plan, at least for a minute. But see, I think about this, and I think about the way we think about it, and I said, he never said it would be easy. Yeah. And then I said, or did he? And I think about Matthew 11, 27 through 30 is my opening verse. And he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And if anyone whom the Son wills to reveal to him, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think about Christ saying this for a minute, right? So when you talk about Christ, and you think about what he went through, and then for him to turn and say to us that I will give you rest, amen, then my burden is light. And I don't know how many of us had to walk death row because we're still sitting here right now, amen. I don't know how many of us had to be battered down the way to death row because we're still sitting here right now. And then so the reality kicks in. He's like, bing, you're mad about your truck and trailer. He died for you. And you're mad about your truck and trailer. He died for you and you're mad about your significant other. He died for you and you're mad about your job or lack of job. Amen? Right? So I'm thinking about that, and that's just like Pammy holding the bottles. You know, he died for me, but I'm looking at my problems like this. And he's like, hey, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. So is it me not focusing on God and focus in on my problems that creates the stress inside my mind. Right? It's me looking at all these little things lining up and justifying that life ain't fair. The expectation to even think that life should be fair is wrong. Right? It's wrong. It doesn't make sense. See? David said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And you think about the chaos beginning with Adam and the imperfection coming into the world, that the very seed that landed to David, and David saying, "In sin my mother conceived me." The reality is we're birthed into a world of chaos. Why are you surprised when your life is chaotic? Amen? I'm birthed into chaos. I've created chaos. I lived for 30 years of chaos. Yes or no?
Yep.
Right? Some of you guys, 10, 7, 11, right? How much time we got under our belt? We planted them seeds of chaos for so long. Finally, we're lucky enough for God to be like, "Hey, I love you." Right? There's a better way. There's a better way to live than all this chaos. But your focus is still on chaos. And don't be surprised, because we're born into this world. 1 Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of the seed that's perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and the glory of the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. And this is the word that's being preached to you." This is the word that's being preached to you. The word that abides forever. The flesh is temporary.
Yeah, yeah.
The situation is even more temporary than the flesh.
Yeah.
How many things have you guys been through to date? Right? How many different things have I been through that I thought was a challenge to date? Did any of them things stop me from being here tonight?
No.
Right? Did they stop you from being here tonight? They didn't. So there's nothing going on in our life that can stop us from moving forward. There's nothing in our life that we can't, by faith, overcome. We might not like the outcome. I used to have a good friend of mine all the time. I never wanted to get advice from him, ever. Because I'd go and I'd tell him all my problems, he'd be like, "It's going to work out." That's it. And about 30 seconds later, he'd go, "Might not work out the way you want it to work out, but it's going to work out." This is the worst dude, right? But he's right. He's right. You know, the reality is I win, I lose, I'm happy, I'm sad. I got to stop letting the world decide that for me. Right? I got to stop letting circumstances decide that for me. And you know, I love old people. I do. But I will kick that old lady's cane out for calling in on my truck. You know what I mean? I'm so mad. I just love old people. You know, I do. I really do. I was like, "Man, you walking your dog by my truck and called me in. I know you did that." So the stronghold or the problem is really between the ears, right? Our biggest problem is between our ears. Where's it at?
Between our ears.
Right here, man.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is the way we're looking at it. The biggest problem is the way we're holding on to it. The biggest problem is the way we're seeing it, right? Like our anxiety and the things that we latch on to is just right here. And God has the power to come in there and say, "Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Amen.
So that's the thing, man. He's like, "What you getting all worked up about? I'm the creator of the entire universe. You're mad because you can't park in front of your house. You're mad because somebody crashed your classic car that you cannot, for the love of God, seem to finish no matter what." Right? No matter what. We're not going to talk about that. But no matter what, every time this truck gets this close, something happens. Problems between my ears. It's in my body. Body's passing away. Hebrews 7:25. "Hence, therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives and abides to make intercession for them."
Amen.
You know, but what is easy? Easy to me, easy to God. And that's something I got for you today. Polymetamorphism. Polymetamorphism. It's the presence of more than one phase
of a metamorphism. So the phase being a sequence of cycles over time, and a metamorphism being the process of the aspect of evolution in cycles. So if I gave you a positive idea of this, just so we could hold on to it, is a butterfly. Conceptualize in your mind the life of the butterfly. Right? He's a larva, then he's a little crawling bug. What is he? He's a caterpillar. See, you guys know. You already know what I'm going to say. He's a caterpillar, and then what is he? He's a butterfly. You got promoted. What happened? What happened in your life? Did you skip right to the butterfly, Nick? Keep him out of this. The cocoon. He got locked up. Right? That's the way I remember it. He got locked up. Then what? He flew. Because he met God in that cocoon. Amen. Right? But you, okay, so you have a positive idea. What about negative cycles? Right? What about me? What about smaller phases? What about times of frustration? Whether that be this last weekend that happened to me that set me off, or something happened in your life that you've been dealing with for 6 months. And you start thinking about these different cycles of times of phases. I remember one of my being incarcerated for a very long time. Right? That was a cycle. It was a phase. It was a time. And I might have been larva, I might have been crawling, and I might have been cocooned all in one throughout that phase. But it was just that one time when God had enough energy to sit me down and say, I got something in store for you. But he had to slow me down enough to understand that it was there. Right? Because out here is so fast. It's so fast. What Donnie called the enter instead of the exit. Now what happens when you walk out of here? Amen? Or Lyle says that too. Right? If it's raining right now, we're just not being rained on because we're in God's glory, but we're still living the world. We go outside, we're going to get rained on. And you think about our lives in the terms of what I'm talking about. Polymetamorphism means that something terrible or some challenge has come along and you're facing that right now. Yes or no? Right? And you're dealing with that problem right now. Right? But if you latch on to your faith, he can grow you to that middle stage of where you can overcome that problem. Amen? And then you find yourself above that problem in the future from now. And how do we know that for sure? Because we can look at examples of how many problems in the past that he took us through. Amen. Yes or no? Does anybody have a testimony in the room?
Amen.
Three of you? How many people are holding out? How many people got a testimony in the room? How many people are asleep right now, right? Kick trap. I'm going to check. I'm just checking. All right. I wear my sunglasses. That was the first thing I thought when I seen you today. Make sure this dude's awake, man. That's all I'm saying. So if you got a testimony, then you know that God worked with you then. You know that God's going to work with you now. See, past victories win present battles.
Come on.
Right? Say it with me. Past victories win present battles. You know how you know? Because he fought for you then. He's going to fight for you now. Amen.
Amen?
Right? And if the problem's right here, he's got to fight you right now. Amen? Amen. Right? He's got to fight me right now because the problem's right here. Right? Sometimes he'll go out there and just wipe out the whole crowd. If the problem's out there, I believe he's got the power to do it. I think he can open up doors. I've seen him open up doors in my life with bigger criminal history than you guys can imagine. Job that I got that I shouldn't have ever had. Right? Just because he is so good. But I remember that who he is. Right? I hold on to who he is. And even being in this position don't mean that I finally am floating. Right? I'm sucking buckets out of the boat trying to say, but I just think God is taking me somewhere, and I've got to think that in my mind. So Hebrews 7:25, hence therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to him.
Yeah.
Save forever those who draw near to him. But we go home and we worked all day. I deserve to watch TV right now. I deserve to go out with the guys. I deserve that. But I don't draw near to him. Right? When's the last time we sat down by ourselves and said, I'm going to put this word in my heart alone? Yes or no? Right? But then I'm surprised when my weekend don't go well.
I'm surprised when my circumstances don't go well. Because he said, when you draw near to me, yes. I draw near to you. Yes. Amen? Amen. What about, like, circumstances of life cycles that people ask me all the time about when they talk about chaos and tragedy in the world? That's a tough question to ask sometimes. When you look at the tragedy in the world, but I kind of have a good handle on this because, you know, tragedy strikes. It strikes me. I'm sure some of you have very, you know, tough stories that you could share of things that struck you, and you ask yourself, or they ask themselves, or the media asks, you know, where's God when this happens? There's two things that I think about when I think about that question. And number one, don't you think the author of life has the authority to take it?
That's right.
Yes or no? Yes. And number two, when I think about these things, I think about perspective. When I look at that sort of thing, how can I possibly say that God wanted that to happen? When I draw near to Him and everything He shows me is love. But then He taught me that I came into a world of chaos. And that I'm surrounded by chaos. But it's my job to go out and show His love in the midst of that chaos. Amen? Right? So it's not fair. It's not going to be fair. I can't expect to be fair, and I shouldn't be shocked when things don't work out.
Amen.
You know, then I have a grasp of understanding that chaos is out there. Sometimes it gets me, sometimes it gets LA, sometimes it gets Jose. But a righteous man falls down seven times, what? He gets back up. Seven times he gets up. Bottom line, no matter how many times you hit me, I'm going to get up. I'm going that way. I'm holding on for good this time. I woke up 10 years ago and said, this is my last noodle cup. Bottom line. I knew it. Yes or no? Some of you guys might still have some more noodles in you. Right? And let me tell you how to tell. Because if you're sitting there thinking to yourself that I could probably do what I did negatively better, then you still got more noodles in you. Bottom line. You can put salami in them. You can heat up gravy and you can put gravy on top of them. You can wrap them in wraps. Because you're going to eat some more, and I can show you how to make them. I've made them for years. I can chef them up. Bomb. I just need a microwave. I'm telling you, I'm not hungry for them no more. Not one more noodle. If we left and everybody qualified for a free noodle, I would throw my ticket on the ground. I'm not playing. Think about that. It's just the way that we look at it sometimes. I got another text I got to share with you guys when we're talking about perspective here. Actually, I want to paraphrase this. You know, sometimes we get caught off track because we witness things that we believe aren't fair. In one of the parables that they teach, I recommend you guys read in Matthew 21 through 16, is the workers in the field. The guy sent the guy out, worked in the middle of the morning. A few hours later, he sent some more. They all come back, and he pays them, the ones that worked all day. And then he paid the next ones, and they saw what they got paid, and he paid them the same.
Yeah.
And then the next ones paid them the same. And then the next ones paid them the same. And then the ones that were there for like 9 minutes got paid the same again.
Yeah.
And they were like, no. And the landowner looked at him and he said, don't I have the right to do with what I own, what I please? And you did what you were agreed upon, and I gave you what you agreed upon.
Amen.
And he sent him through. But the reality is, this prize, this payment, this fight that we're in is eternal life.
Come on. Yes.
And what he's saying is that I love you so much.
Hallelujah.
That if I got you when you were little, I'm going to keep you to the end.
Amen.
And if I got you when you were middle-aged, I'm going to keep you to the end. And if I can catch you for real at the last minute, I'm going to get you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't be mad. Don't be jealous. They got a better job. They got better circumstances. We all got the same end result. Amen?
Amen.
End result. It's the same. We're going in. Bob always quotes, come on in, good and faithful servant. Enjoy. He's being real quiet on me right now. He's supposed to jump in and finish the verse, but we'll just keep on going. You got the prodigal son,
right? You got those two guys. You got one guy that run off like me that just wanted the whole world in his hand.
Yeah.
Not in his hand. In this hand, right? And then the one that was jealous at home that never found his happiness. And I got Philippians for closing. All right, I'm going to let you guys go. And I know that Lyle says that's not true. I never believe a preacher that tells you he's going to let you go. But I really am. I really am. I got like a couple more verses here. And I really want you to catch this. And if somebody could distract Pam so she don't jump up at the end, that'd be great. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. And this is something I want us all to take home. He said, have this attitude in yourself, in which there was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed as the form of God, did not regard the equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied his own self, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Being found in an appearance of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed him to the name which is above every name, I'm too excited. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you think about that and compare it to the beginning, Matthew 11:27, where he was saying, my burden is light, that you learn from me, that you grasp on to me, that you draw near to me. And when you draw near to me, I draw near to you, and you will have peace. You will have rest. So the key is, we've got to take our blindfolds that's attacking this world and stopping this world from getting us to be able to see all the glory of God that's right here in our hands. Amen? Right here in front of us. Even Abraham Lincoln said, a man is as happy as he wants to be. And you think about that. And you say, ask yourself, I'm not happy, I'm not happy. Well, I ask you now, is it because you don't want to be happy? Because Christ wants you to be happy. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but he said he'd make it light. And he said he'd get you through it, right? So if I'm not happy today, it's because I'm choosing not to be happy. Right? If I wake up and beat the alarm clock and kick the dog tomorrow, I'm not choosing to be happy. Amen? Right? So staying the course to me means that nothing that comes my way is going to remove the grasp that I have on my faith and draw near to God, so that God is the one that keeps me on the course. Amen? Amen.